Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, July 13th, with hopefully everyone in the Satellite Sisters universe by now knows that that is the birthday of one Julie Dolan. Happy birthday, Julie.
Thank you, sisters. Yes, indeed. It's my birthday, and it's also my son's birthday, too. A lot of Satellite Sister listeners know that my son was born on July 13th as well as our grandfather was born on July 13th. So it's kind of an epic day in the Dolan family.
Lucky 13 in our family. So, Monica Dolan, you're joining us from Bend, Oregon. How's everything there?
It's hot in Oregon, and I know you California sisters are probably snickering, but I mean, it is really hot this week.
It's 105 here in Denver.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm joining your club, the hot weather club, this week. Just trying to stay cool.
And Leanne, how are things out there? I consider Pasadena the hot capital in my world. Hottest place I ever go to. But how's everything out there in Pasadena?
Liz, I just came in with my beautiful harvest. My tomato harvest is going nuts this year because it's been so hot. And for the first time ever, I grew grape tomatoes. You know, the little ones? They're so tasty. They are hard to harvest, though. I understand why they're so expensive in the store. But I just love being self-sustaining out there, Liz, in terms of tomatoes. In terms of tomatoes.
Because you go to the grocery store pretty much every day. But you're self-sustaining. Okay.
I think my whole vegetable gardening strategy for the future is just going to be things that go well with goat cheese. That's what I'm just going to plant that.
Like basil, tomatoes.
Yeah. Tomatoes, cucumbers. You know, we have some plums. That goes good with goat cheese. Just things that go good with goat cheese.
You know, then you get a couple of goats and you're good to go.
Nope. I'm going to leave that to the people in Oregon. The good people in Oregon can have the goats.
Okay, so Julie, happy birthday, really. Great. Happy birthday. I noticed that on the Facebook page, Bonnie Ray posted some balloons for you, and there are lots of happy birthday wishes for you there on Satellite Sisters Facebook group, including one from Betsy, who just wanted to say happy birthday to the first sister, because she does not like the O word.
So you're now
the first sister officially.
I like that. First lady, first sister. I'll take that. That's an excellent title. I don't know why we've never thought of that at all. So that's good. I'm taking it on. But I got myself some balloons, and I had a little pool party with my grandchildren. They brought me homemade gifts and cards. It couldn't have been a better day.
That's nice.
That is a great birthday party. So we had lots and lots of fun. So thank you very much. And I thank everybody, at our Facebook group that has been sending me birthday wishes. It's very nice.
It is the best part of Facebook, as we've often discussed. It's the one thing Facebook does well.
Yes. They A+ on birthdays. But sisters, I have to tell you, earlier this week, I had made a promise to my two oldest grandchildren. That would be Alice, who is 7, and Benjamin, that is 5. They had in their mind, Alice had heard about it at school. It's a place called Six Flags over Texas. She had heard about it. Kids were talking. She told me she was the only one in her whole class that had not been to Six Flags. Okay.
That's probably true, by the way. I'm sure it's true.
So now here's the thing. I never let my sons go to Six Flags when we lived in California. We did go to Disney World. We did go to Disneyland. But I for some reason, we never got it together to go to Six Flags. So I made this sort of vague promise, when you finish school, Grandpa T and Nana will take you to Six Flags. Of course, it was a vague promise on my part, but that was written
in... That doesn't actually sound that vague. That sounds pretty... pretty specific.
I'm glad
it was, but I lived up to my promise. Okay, and so we packed up on Thursday. We were prepared because it is, Monica, I know it's hot in Portland, but it was 100 degrees on Thursday in Arlington, Texas, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that's where Six Flags were. The kids were psyched. They were so psyched to be going there. They didn't even know why they were psyched, but they were just so happy that somehow that she was not going to be the only child going into second grade who hadn't been to Six Flags. And I have to say, we went. It wasn't that crowded, so that was the good news. It was very, very hot, but we went early, of course, because we're Dolans. You know, we were there at the opening of the gates. We were there. So it meant that we could get in, and we went on a lot of rides, and we were having a lot of fun. And we could, people were very friendly, very helpful. It was clean. I had a very positive impression of Six Flags. So it was all going well. But then after lunch, for some reason, Alice wanted to try something a little more daring. And so we went on, it's called Judge Roy Scream. It's a roller coaster that they both qualified for in terms of height. And I have to say at Six Flags, they are very, very safety conscious. They actually measure every child that gets on every single ride. They have this whole protocol about how they buckle you in and they check the buckles and, how they count things down. So, you have a sense that, safety first at Six Flags. So it's going well. We go on this roller coaster, and it was too much for the five-year-old, for Benjamin. Oh, it was just too intense. You know, he's only five.
Right.
I mean, he was terrified. And he said, I never, ever want to go on that. He was upset. And we were like, okay, well, we'll just pick out some more gentle rides. Yeah. And so...
Hit the teacups. Teacups are good.
And 100 degrees, Liz, within the bright sun. Those were
after
a little...
lunch, it's good.
Those make you nauseous, Liz.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right.
I will tell you that. But what we picked out was one of the water rides.
The
log flume ride would be good. Okay. It has, if you've been to Disneyland, Disney World, they have a log flume ride. But this one didn't seem as high, so it seemed like it was a little gentler. And we thought that everybody would enjoy just splashing around in the water, getting a little wet. That would be fun. So we go to the log flume ride. And again, no lines. So we get in there. But curiously, this is the one ride where you don't actually get buckled into anything. You straddle a seat in the middle of a log, okay? You get that picture?
Yeah.
Everyone. So my husband's in the back. I'm in front of my husband. Then we have Benjamin, and then we have Alice in front because she's the daredevil and she likes it. And so we start out on the log flume ride, and Benjamin is, everything's good. He's happy. It's all going well. And then we start going up the big hill, and we get about halfway up the hill, and it stops. Stops. Okay. We are at a 45 degree angle. And there are no belts. There's nothing. Okay. We are going up, the mountain, and it just stops and it stops and it stops. And poor Benjamin, he starts to cry because he's like, we are going to die. He was so worried about it. And again, we didn't know what was going on. And so we're yelling and we're calling up to, they have somebody up in an observation tower that's sort of watching the various rides. And we're like, this isn't moving. Okay.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It is so, and can I tell you how hot it is? Because again, it's 100 degrees. We're in the bright sun. We are like being like in a hot dog bun, and we are just being roasted. We can't tremp. My husband can't move because we're at such an angle. He's like pinned back. I was like, get their hats out. Get help. Get out of the backpack. Okay, so then somebody climbs up. Jesse from Six Flags climbs up, and he comes over to us, and he says, yes, they've had an incident. Somebody pressed the emergency button to shut down the ride. He didn't indicate who it was, whether it was an employee.
Some 16-year-old employee on his first day of work.
And hit the E button, as they called it. I was like, the E button? The emergency.
Eject.
Yes. Well, so So he said, it's going to be 5 minutes. We're like, oh, 5 minutes. Well, we can do that. And Jesse's kind of talking to Benjamin, and that's like perking his spirits up, even though we're up pretty high and we're at this really weird angle and it's not comfortable. And he said, just stay in your seats. Don't worry. So 5 minutes goes by and I'm like, Jesse, you know, it's been more than 5 minutes. And he said, okay. And so he climbs back down, leaves us up there roasting in the wiener roast there in the log roast. And then another supervisor comes up. Everybody, they've got about 10 supervisors, you know, for each position there. And they come up and they say that once someone hits this emergency button, it sort of shuts down everything. Then they have to reboot everything. But then they also have to start their whole safety protocol all over again. So he said, we're going to have to take you out of the log. Okay, by now, Ben is now, he's like screaming. It's like, no!
Oh, wow. Well, I would be screaming too in that situation.
He is never going on a ride again. Wow.
This was the gentle ride that we had talked him into, you know, after taking him on the wrong roller coaster. So, but of course, the supervisor couldn't just take us out of the log. They had to go, they have a special team that, you know, takes
extraction team.
It's an extraction team that they had to bring to the log flume ride to get us out. You know, because there was just a little tricky. You could see that you could definitely, you could fall, you could trip on something, and they just, you know, they wanted to make sure we got out safely. But they did manage. You know, they said, "Can we get you anything else?" I was like, "Could we get some water?" I mean, it was really, really hot up there. We're in this bright sun. They make you take your hats off for all of the rides because they don't want hats flying around the place. So we're just really baking in the sun, but we managed to get down from the ride, and you know, they had water for us when we got back to the beginning of the ride, and then, you know, we had to sign all kinds of documents, and they checked on us and everything like that. And then they did upgrade Trem and my husband and Alice. They gave them the fast pass to go on some super scary roller coaster rides. So as a consolation.
That is like the least they could do.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say lifetime pass or something.
No, we didn't get a lifetime pass. No. I mean, I don't know how often this happens at Six Flags. You know, maybe it happens, but you know, they had a whole protocol about what they were going to do with the flume. So there were other people at various other points on the ride, but we think our positioning was the worst of anyone that was trapped on the ride because of the angle that we were on.
Yeah.
But so we made it back. We made it back safely. We went on the merry-go-round after the log flume ride. That was our final.
Oh, wow. He's gonna need some therapy, some post-traumatic stress disorder therapy. I took Colin on like the studio tour at Universal one day. He was about six, and it was a super hot day. And I thought, well, it'll be nice to be sort of in the misted cars and everything. He still talks about it today as the worst experience of his life. Because, like, it was like King Kong. I didn't realize how scary it was going to be. They'd, like, ramped it up in intensity in, like 20,000 times since I'd last been on it. Like, buildings were burning and falling down around him. He was terrified. Terrified.
Well, I don't think there's any log fluming in Benjamin's future. So, and neither for Nana. I'm not getting on that ride ever again.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I think that was my one and only trip to Six Flags. I think I'm done. I think right. Alice.
Well, yeah, you're totally off the hook for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
if Alice ever needs to go back, her parents need to take her.
Yeah,
I think Nana and Grandpa T are off the hook.
We're done. We've done it. We were exhausted.
Liz, I have a quick production question. Did you hit the call recorder?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I didn't. So usually.
Okay.
Okay, just want to make sure we were recording the show. All right, good.
Yes, we're 13 minutes and 53 seconds in, Leanne. Is that reassuring?
I totally forgot to hit the call recorder, and I thought we just lost that entire story. Okay. Goodness.
This is the way we roll. Luckily, somebody has this recorded.
Back up. We have a system in place. No, I hit the E button here.
This is our safety protocol. Halfway through the show, someone says, wait a minute. Okay. Well, Julie, glad you got through that. You know, it does remind me, though, of one of the most serious stories in the news this week. Just a true heartbreaker about kids in Texas and California and Arizona. And that is the 57,000 kids who are at the border now, having tried to come into the United States, and just what a crisis that has become, and how heartbreaking it is to think of what it would take for a parent to right. send a child that far just to get them to safety. And it just every time I think about, you know, all of those kids there with nobody who knows them and loves them, it really, really just breaks my heart.
Yeah, it must be 10-year-old kids. You know,
I know.
Pictures are heartbreaking.
It must be bewildering for them, and they're in adult detention centers. You know, they have a lot of strangers around them. You know that, sisters, that I work with a charity here in Dallas that focuses on providing early childhood education. And one of the things that, you know, that has happened here in Dallas is some community members from, you know, Republicans, Democrats, independents have stepped up and they have said, we cannot have children in these adult centers. And they've taken it on their own, you know, to find locations. They found these schools and then they brought in, you know, child care experts to help just care for the kids while they're in this limbo of, you know, neither here in the U.S. or placement or whatever is going to happen to them, but just to have it be a much more child-friendly environment. And, you know, I'm so amazed and proud of these people that have just stepped up to do this, because it's, you know, it's not like, you know, it's, I don't even, they don't even know if they have the authority to do it, but right. they just got it together. There's one judge here in Dallas that, you know, is really spearheading the effort. He found these locations. They, you know, volunteered to take some of these kids so that at least they have a more child-friendly environment to be in while they're here.
That is great. I mean, yeah, it's just there yeah. are so many kids and continuing to come. I mean, large numbers of people are going to have to step up to do that. So it's just one of those clear situations where no matter what your politics,
right.
somebody has to take care of the kids.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Know. It is a true humanitarian crisis, and that they need more resources and they need more help. And it seems, you know, like there's a vacuum. Like, I don't, you know, and so people have just stepped up and they are providing services to these kids. And I think that's great.
That is great. It's just, that's a heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. On another international story, though, it is World Cup Day here, girls. So
yep.
I don't know if we have to do our picks for the day. Do people want to pick? I know I'm in sort of first I would like to say, as you recall, a month ago, I did pick Argentina to win. So
yes, you did, Leanne.
I did pick Argentina.
If you listen to that podcast, you were very clear about that. Yes.
But wait a minute. Verify. But in the semifinals, you went with Germany.
It's a house divided here. You know, I'm married to a German, and we have a German Shepherd, and my kid self-identifies German. You know, there's something about the precision of the German machine, the soccer machine, that appeals to our family. As you met my husband,
you
can see why that is. So I can honestly say I'd be happy with either team winning. Like, I have no, I don't feel like, I picked Argentina a month ago. But if Messi won, I think that would be great. I feel like it would be fantastic. On the other hand, the way Germany played against Brazil, they just dismantled them. How can you root against them? That was a fantastic display of, like, the soccer machine that is Germany. And, again, their manager is spectacular looking. So,
so you're hoping for another good shirt here for the final, Leon,
on
the manager?
Yeah. I hope there'll be some rain, because he looks good when it rains and the shirt gets wet. That looks good.
Yeah. Well,
it's exciting, though. It's a good time.
It's very exciting. By the time everyone listens to this, of course, the excitement will be over. But in this moment, an hour and a half from now when the game begins, it will be very exciting. Well, I've mentioned before that I work in the international division of a media company, and that the number one nationality in my company is Argentinian. For just historical reasons, for instance, like in the LA office of my company, there are a couple of dozen people. In the Buenos Aires office of my company, there are 500 people. It's our biggest office anywhere in the world is Argentina. So you can imagine people are just completely out of their minds, just out of their minds.
Yeah.
And it's just very rare. Argentinians tend not to be like happy, happy people. You know, there's just that.
I don't think people know that, Liz. When you told me that the other day, I was surprised.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Argentinians are known for being, you know, pretty buttoned up, not to just traffic in cultural stereotypes. They will tell you this. They will tell you things like the therapists per capita in Buenos Aires is the highest in the world. Like, every Argentinian I've ever talked to sees a therapist at least once a week. Just to keep it together. You know, and my colleague Mariano, I think I told you, one time when I was there and we were sitting having lunch in Buenos Aires and it was a Sunday and in the square people were dancing the tango outside the restaurant. And so I asked Mariano, what's the deal with the tango? Like, why is that so important culturally? And he said, Liz, the Brazilians, they dance the samba because they are happy. And the Argentinians, we dance the tango because we are sad. And that's...
Oh, so when you put it that way, I hope Argentina wins.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
They may go into a tailspin that they could never recover from.
So in my office in L.A., our CFO, she is Argentinian. Our CEO, he is Argentinian, and then a lot of my colleagues are Argentinian. So we ended up watching the game, Marcella, she's the CFO, in her office, but watching on the Univision channel. Obviously, they're all watching in Spanish. I didn't notice for the first 15 minutes that we were watching in Spanish. So that's fine with me.
And which you don't speak, by the way.
Which I do not speak, exactly.
I don't mean to call attention to that, but it's not that it's such a natural second language for you. You didn't even notice, no.
No, but the thing that was funny that that we noticed, and that's actually there's a big story in the paper about it today, because we were watching Univision invested in a lot of special, like $500,000 in new technology to deliver the signal to the United States. So if you were watching the game the other day, or today for that matter, if you're watching on Univision versus watching on ESPN, Univision is getting you that game 5 seconds before ESPN. There was a 5 second gap. So,
wow.
And I didn't, like, we thought we were imagining it, but as we were watching the game, every time we yelled, people that were down the hall watching in a conference room, watching ESPN, finally they walked down the hall and they're like, how come you know everything that's happening 5 seconds before we do?
Because we're Argentinian.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they could just sense it. The Argentinians in the room, they could not sit down. They could not eat. They could not. It was a very, very stressful game. So
that
anyway,
was a stressful game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, so our CFO, she was like, so at that point, like once they won, so hugely relieved. Next day she packed her bags and went to Rio. She just could not.
So really?
She is at the game. Oh yeah. Okay.
She's not going for the 5 second delay anymore.
No,
she wants
no, that was, that was no longer good enough. On the flip side,
she and LeBron.
Yes.
I mean, how many times this week did they say he's going to the World Cup finals in Brazil? I'm like every for 2 weeks they've been telling us that.
I know.
Anyway,
who cares?
I know. Well, that was good for him. Good for him all around, LeBron. Good for him.
So I also have many Brazilian colleagues, not as many as Argentinians, but one of my Brazilian colleagues after that dismantling the other day. I just want to give you a taste for the pain this has caused poor Celia. She posted this on her Facebook page. I am sad, very sad, for what happened to my national team. But I am sadder for the mean and cruel comments that I have been reading on social media. I have never experienced such a lack of respect and empathy for my country. The German team is not that great of a team. They were just fortunate to get a psychologically affected team with the loss of the two major players. The Germans and the world can laugh at us all they want, but today I will, and I invite all of my fellow Brazilians to wear our national team jersey prouder than ever. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
oh,
that's,
God.
That's
there's all kinds of etiquette questions about how do you console a Brazilian now? I mean, what
I
is it?
Know.
Do you not mention the game, or do you bring it up and say how sorry you are?
Well, here's the feedback I've gotten from Brazilians I know. because they hate the Argentinians so much.
Yes.
You know, that is just such a long-standing, like, beyond rivalry. It's sort of a Yankees-Red Sox level thing. They've just put all of their emotional energy now into rooting for Germany. So if you want to make a Brazilian feel better, you could root for Germany. That's what they're going for now.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I just got to say this, Monica. I don't work with any Brazilians, any Argentinians, any Germans, but I am just so glad this thing is going to be over today because no one in my office has done a lick of work in the past few weeks except for me. They are just full on watching TV because the games come on at 1.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not even pretending to work anymore. Everyone except for me is watching soccer all day long. It's gone on for weeks. So I'm just glad the thing's going to be over tomorrow. So
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
Now, do you have a preference, Monica? Who do you want to win or lose?
Well, I'd like Argentina to win, just because I used to work for a German company. So, well, and it's complicated, the feelings there after I left. So I'm going to go with Argentina.
Okay. I'm gonna go. I would say this, on the social media front, there were just as many terrible Nazi comments about the Germans as there were terrible comments about
the
Brazilians.
Yeah, I thought that was
really
fair.
Yeah, I did too. I feel, you know, that seems that seems unnecessary. But that's what social media is for, bringing people down. So,
They had an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, sort of a roundup of the cultural stereotypes of the fans from various countries that have been in Brazil for the World Cup. And Liz, as you said, spot on, they said the Argentines are the most sensitive of any of the fans, and that many grown men were crying when Argentina beat the Netherlands, you know, that they were sobbing because of their sensitivity, you know, where the Germans, Leon, as you pegged it, they have been calm and very cool and somewhat restrained in terms of the fans and how they react in the stadiums, because maybe they think they're so great that they don't have to get all worked up. Do you think
I
that's
don't
it?
Think they enjoyed dismantling the Brazilians. I thought the team's response to qualifying for the World Cup finals was very restrained. If the Germans had won 1-0, that would have been a very different response. So
I know during the game, Leon, I noticed you posted on your Facebook page, not very long into the game, the question, is there a mercy rule?
I know, that was bad. But, Brooks, as Brooks said, being the soccer player, he's like, these are professionals. They're going to score, and they don't need to take it easy. And these are the best players in the world. This is not an amateur team. David Luiz, the Brazilian defender, is the highest paid defender in the world. Mm-hmm. And he stunk for the last two games.
Okay. You heard it here from Leon. Okay. All right. They commented on the Australian fans. Now, you might not even have known that Australia had a team in the World Cup. They went out early. But here's the thing. The Australians that showed up in Brazil, they were just there to have a good time and to drink as much beer as they possibly could. Yeah. And even though soccer is only their fourth or fifth favorite sport, they were having a great time.
Okay.
The Chileans apparently get the most worked up of any of the fans, that they are really hysterical in the stands, okay, because they just, I know they're extremely intense about their team and about their team's playing.
And they have the good chant, chi-chi-chi, le-le-le, chi-chi-chi, le-le-le.
Yes.
You do that for an hour, you're going to get pretty worked up.
The Russian fans that showed up, they were all described as big men who looked like security guards and were very unhappy. I think that's about right. You sisters, you've been to Russia. That's how most of the men, they're big or small. They all look like security guards and they're all unhappy. The U.S. fans, apparently, they clapped for everything, which I think was a way of saying we had no idea what the game of soccer was all about. There was a lot of screaming, USA, USA, and the chant that I believe that we will win. There was a lot of that going on. The Dutch fans.
Which is, can I just say, that's not a good chant. That's a mile from chi 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 le 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 as far as way to get psyched.
England, Leon, they are the most sophisticated soccer fans, but they're just such a dismal team that ends up leaving them very depressed, and the English drink a little too much. So there you have it, sisters, sort of a highlights of the cultural roundup of the fans that showed up in Brazil for this great event. It's really been fun to watch. And I think I'm going to go with Argentina, Leon, because I want that accountant Messi to have his game.
Have his day. Liz, I assume you're going with Argentina.
I am, yes. Yeah. I know what you're like, Germany, they're such a skilled team.
I know.
You could never hold it against them.
No, no, no. I will be happy if they do well, too. Yeah.
But in my life will be better if the Argentinians win. It's purely selfish. We'll get even less work done this coming week than we did last week if the Argentinians lose. Let me just put it that way.
Everyone well, Monica's just psyched it's going to be over. So there you go.
That's the spirit. All right.
Speaking of Facebook, a couple of good things from the Satellite Sisterhood this week that I wanted to mention on our Facebook page in and around. First of all, Ellen, who we met at the Cape Cod meetup, sold her first novel this week. Who knew she was even working on a novel? So it's unbelievably fantastic. And she mentioned this, so I feel like I will. She said at 55, she sold her first novel, and she wanted to thank the Satellite Sisterhood for their support and inspiration. So Ellen, way to go.
That is so exciting.
Can't wait to read the book.
So she didn't reveal any details, but I'm sure we'll get some behind the scenes. You know, it takes a while from sale date to publication, but good for you. That's absolutely fantastic. And then I don't know if any of you were following Josh Blue's trip to New Orleans this week. He is one of our satellite misters that lives in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. But he was visiting New Orleans. And, you know, sisters, I knew you would appreciate this. He ate more calories in a single week than I have ever seen. He just went for it. He posted photos of all the fantastic food that he ate at Commander's and Court of the Two Sisters and Pesce and Cafe Du Monde. And
I mean, Josh goes on some good trips.
I know.
And so, he does focus on the food and the restaurants, but that's what you have to, you know, that's a big part of a trip to New Orleans. That sounds great.
Yeah, it was just an unbelievable food diary. I feel like I lived the trip with them. And so I wrote on his Facebook page, like, you are my calorie hero. I mean, you were packing it away. And he said in the last 4 months, he's lost 20 kilos. And he fears in 4 short days that he's regained it. But he just needs to remember that it's a holiday and he should be enjoyed. So he was going off to the Court of the Two Sisters for brunch that day.
Nice.
But that was spectacular. I just loved following along. So you could be part of our Facebook page. Just join our group. Liz will approve you.
Yes.
It's no big deal.
As long as I know you're a real person, I approve you. That's the that's the only bar you have to get over, which means you have to have some pictures of other people on your Facebook page. You have to have some friends. If you have no friends, we can't be your only friends. Because that means you're a robot or something. So, okay.
Or your friends can't be porn stars. Because I sometimes get invited by men and all their friends are women with no clothes on. So that's suspicious to me.
Hey, Leon, that's good thinking. Very good thinking. You're sharp.
Okay, well, this is Monica, and I would like to issue an on-air thank you note to our sister Sheila. I know she hasn't been here in a few weeks, and neither have I, but I had an opportunity. I had to go to California, and I had an opportunity to stay at Sheila's Airy, or her lovely little treetop apartment, as she calls it. And I was there one day when she was there, and then she kind of set things up for me, and she was gone for a couple of days. And it was just wonderful. And here are the things that Sheila did for me that proved to me that she's a wonderful hostess. So if you ever want to visit her little treetop Airy, first of all, I had my own set of keys. Not only to the apartment, but her car.
Oh, nice.
She left her car for me. Then she bought me, there were fresh sheets and towels. And because Sheila does not like people wearing shoes in her house, she provided a set of slippers for me.
That is thoughtful. Like a real hotel.
Yes, I like that.
It was like a real hotel. I brought a little robe. She said, you might want to bring a little robe. She didn't have an extra robe. Provided slippers, fresh towels and sheets. She offered to let me sleep in her bed, but I didn't want to do that. So I slept on the fold-out couch, which was fine. And then she bought Dove soap because she knows I like to use Dove soap. And then the refrigerator was full of all sorts of things special for me. First of all, cold cuts. When is the last time Sheila ate a cold cut? Never.
Never.
Never. Never. But she knows I enjoy cold cuts. And they're easy. It's easy to make sandwiches. So there are all sorts of cold cuts. She bought me mayonnaise. And then she bought me iced tea, but she bought iced tea without any ice in it. I don't know how to explain it, but she went to Starbucks and she went to Pete's. So I had an iced tea concentrate that she explained I could just pour into a glass with ice. She got lemons and Splenda, and I was all set with the perfect iced tea and explicit directions about how to use her Netflix.
Oh,
she doesn't have real TV. She only has Netflix, and I enjoyed that. And all in all, it was just a wonderful visit there. I felt very welcome, and the place was spotless, naturally, and it was just a really fun little trip there. So
that is nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll start inviting ourselves over.
Yes. I was going to say, she rarely entertains, so that's good. That's
I know, and I know she doesn't, so I know it was like a big thing for her to have guests and someone staying there, and she just did a really nice job with it, so it was very, very nice. And then one other thing I wanted to say, tell you, Liz, but really this is for all the listeners. I had a little bit of a shoe shopping breakthrough last
week. Shoe shopping.
Shoe shopping.
What is that, Monica?
I bought a pair of shoes that I think other sisters are going to be interested in, so I want to share that information with you. Now, I like a slide and a flat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yes.
I like flat shoes, but I like slides. I don't want anything between my toes. Okay. And it's very, very hard to find.
Okay.
Okay.
No, we're not going to force you then.
Between your toes. No, no.
Nothing between my toes. I don't go for the flip-flop style, and it's just really hard to find shoes like that. So I was in Macy's the other day looking for shoes, and I found this model. It's a Born shoe, you know, the kind of like comfort wear. Leanne, you like those.
Yes, European comfort shoes. European comfort shoes, Monica.
And I thought about you. I said, I better look at the European comfort shoes section. And they had something called the Amani flat. It is the perfect slide and flat. So here's what happened. I bought a pair. I sent Liz, I sent you the link.
You did. Because you know I also cannot tolerate things between my toes.
And I know you're always looking for slides and flats. And you've been wearing that one pair of slide flat shoe have the past 4 years.
Yes.
So I sent you an email and I said, this is the shoe for you, Liz, shopping tip. Last night, I'm over here in bed. Our sister-in-law, Susan Dolan, comes over. She walks in the house. She is wearing the Born Amani. She is wearing these shoes, the same shoes. And we looked down. I said, don't you love them? She goes, they're slides and they're flats. I said, yes, Susan. So she bought a pair, the beige pair, and I bought the black pair. And I told her they were the most comfortable shoes I've had in years. And then I am going back this week and buying the beige pair. So there you go. Born Amani flats. The answer to your shoe question.
I like it. I was very happy to get your original tip. And then last night, Susan texted me the close-up photo of your feet together. So, and that's Susan and you. You found these shoes totally separately, right? Like you had not tipped her off.
Separately. I didn't tell her about the Amani flats, and she just bought them like 2 weeks ago, and I bought mine 2 weeks ago. We just showed up last night, both wearing the same shoes. Very happy.
You know, as a marketeer, I got to say, it just tells you what a pent-up demand there is for slides that are also flats. It's like, Leanne, when I was listening to you were talking to Annabelle Gurwitch about this, and it was one of your great WordWrite interviews, but I believe it was Annabelle who said, to all you people who are wearing so many scarves, you wouldn't have to wear so many scarves if you just had sleeves, right? Did you not say that? And you know how I've been on the sleeves thing for a while. So sleeves and slides, I think, you know, you get to a certain age where you need both of those things. So So thank you for the tip, Monica.
So this is going to be your new business venture, Sleeves and Slides?
Yes.
It's kind of a cute name.
I would shop at a store like that.
All right, Monica, you know people, you're gonna have to put like a link to that shoe on the Facebook page. Just saying, people are going to ask. So if you have time today, find that link and post it. All right, I would just like to publicly dispute a survey on CBS Sunday Morning this morning.
Okay, Leanne.
Yeah.
What's up?
Nancy Giles was doing a good piece on ice cream. I think July is National Ice Cream Month, by the way. And it was rather interesting about the first ice cream truck, and it was a good humor truck, and how that really sort of spread ice cream to the people. And then at the end, they had a survey conducted by CBS Sunday Morning about the top five ice cream flavors. Mm-hmm. And it was like vanilla, chocolate. Number three was coffee. And mm-hmm. then number four was the tie between Rocky Road, excellent, butter pecan. I didn't even know they sold that anymore. And then Neapolitan. All right, no one likes Neapolitan ice cream. No one has ever.
Lee, and I buy it all the time. I buy it all the time.
Are you? Why? It is disgusting.
Because my grandchildren. One likes vanilla, the other one likes strawberry. Sometimes they like chocolate. So you get all three flavors.
It tastes bad together. All three cheap flavors that taste bad together.
Well, I'm not eating it. They're eating it. So I think there's probably a lot of people like me that were just buying ice cream, trying to keep the masses happy between the kids who want strawberry and vanilla or chocolate and vanilla or all
no
three.
No one wants strawberry ice cream. It's gross. I mean, do they want it more than Oreo or vanilla Swiss almond or mint chocolate chip?
Pralines and cream?
Those are very specific tastes.
And better, much better than three cheap ice creams in one scoop.
Lee and I agree. I'm surprised mint chocolate chip wasn't number four.
Yeah. I mean, Rocky Road and butter pecan. I mean,
kids don't want to, you give them too many choices. They don't want to commit to mint chocolate chip. That's a big decision. But if they can have three flavors, they're happy. Okay.
So it's so bad. It's, it wouldn't be in my top 100 ice cream flavors.
I don't even consider it a flavor. No. It's really three flavors.
It's a gimmick. Yeah. It's a gross sales gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
It's working. All right, well, the good thing is I never eat it because I don't like the flavor of all three together. So I
right.
can have it in my house.
It's bad. I know.
But kids like it.
Were they surveying kids, do you think, Julie? Were they surveying five-year-olds? I don't
know. Okay. Yeah, maybe they were, Leon, because you know what? That's who ice cream's for, Leon. It's for kids.
Ice cream is for all. Ice cream is for all. Neapolitan is for no one. That is just a terrible ice cream flavor. Okay. I dispute it, CBS.
You made your point.
Okay.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
you are
like
going to be happy, okay, and that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy. You did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your Butcher Box account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your Butcher Box on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Okay, summertime, it's ice cream. It's also blockbuster movie time, isn't it, sisters?
Yep.
Last night, my loving husband took me out for a little birthday dinner, and we were walking home from dinner, and we just happened to walk by a movie theater, and that was playing Planet of the Apes, you know,
Rise of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Rise of Planet of the Apes, whatever it is, you know, that movie. And we just, on an impulse, said, well, let's go to the movies. And we did. We had not planned to go see that. We had not read any reviews about it. It was not on our wish list of movies to go see. The ticket taker said, well, it started about 15 minutes ago. And we said, that's fine. We'll go in. God, you are so old.
You were just seeking out air conditioning.
Yeah. I don't know why. It was just a very impulsive thing. We go in. We sit down. Okay, now this movie is getting, you know, this is on people's top 10 movies of the year. They are calling it an epic. It's so dramatic. They're saying it's an intelligent script. They said the acting is superb. Do you know that this movie is about apes? You know, I had a friend once in Russia, and the musical Cats came to Moscow, and she went to see it. I said, well, what did you think? And she said, it was about cats, you know, and that was this movie. It's all it is apes in it. You know, it has a couple of humans, but when they talk about the dramatic script, it's apes talking to apes. I mean, I don't, you know,
it's hard to dramatize, Julie.
It is really hard. You know, they're saying acting is very, they're apes. These are people they generate a lot of computer animated apes. Okay, so there are lots of apes in this movie. If you want to see an ape, go see this movie. But I mean, it's just, the apes really can't carry the story very well, it seemed to me, you know, because first of all, they have very limited vocabulary. They can say like guns. Humans. They don't have big like soliloquies. You know what I mean?
Just say that again.
Soliloquies. Okay. I'm just getting worked up about the apes. I mean, that movie was terrible. Who said?
Oh my gosh! I loved the first one. And
with
I
all the, can't.
I can't wait. And I was more excited to see the second one because James Franco isn't in the second one. So I loved it. I love the apes. I thought that Caesar, the guy who plays him, should be nominated for an Oscar. I found it completely touching. I absolutely loved it.
He's being an ape. That's what he...
Right. But didn't it touch your humanity in any way?
Not one bit. Not one bit. I did not. I did not find it. I was not emotionally connected to those apes on the screen at all.
Okay.
They're just apes. Okay. That's it's like the musical. They're just cats. I don't know that.
Well, here's what I would say again, as a marketeer, it's what in the UK they would say. It's exactly what's on the tin. In other words, if you go to a movie called Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
right?
It's about apes, right? You know that. Nobody is trying to trick you into anything other than telling you what's in the tin. So, went to a movie about apes, and you seem shocked that there were so many apes in it.
I mean, all right, you just go and see if you think this is, like, the best movie of all time. Like, you tell me that the big dramatic, scenes are there. I didn't see it. They just, just a lot of apes. that's my total review.
Well, on the Facebook group, we've had quite a bit of commentary lately about documentaries people are seeing and liking. So I'm not sure that our group is necessarily going to rush out to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But, Leon, I'm sure your kids are going to go.
Yeah, Colin went yesterday. I was kind of mad because he's my movie buddy, and I was looking forward to going with him. But he went with his friends. So I'm just going to have to go by myself because I think my husband's going to be in the Julie camp. I'm not going to see a movie about apes. But I loved the first one. I thought it was great.
Okay.
And I did not expect to love it that much. So.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this up now. Anyone have any exciting plans for this week? Monica, how long are you in Bend for? Just for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, just for the rest of the weekend. And today we're going to go floating on the river. So
nice.
That'll be fun. Yep.
Okay, Leon.
Looking forward to getting my air conditioning fixed. Still.
Oh, boy. That must
still
be
out. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you don't replace your filter for a decade, that happens.
There's a lesson there.
It's our own fault. And I'm blaming my husband because every year when we get the 1,000 calls about have your air conditioning ducts replaced, I'm like, should we do that? He's like, I'll do it. And then that doesn't happen. Yeah. So there was really no shocker for me when you have a German Shepherd who sheds like 100 pounds of hair a year, mm-hmm. your air conditioning ducts get blocked. Mm-hmm. So we'll be fine.
Well, I have a recommendation if you'd like a home-like place to hang out. I've been spending a lot of time at Crate and Barrel. And you could go there, and it's like it could be your fantasy life. Like, okay, I could live here. I was there again yesterday. I pulled the trigger on my living room rug. So,
exciting.
There's a little update on that. So next Saturday, the new living room rug will be arriving. So, yeah, Crate and Barrel could be my whole fake life. And Julie, anything going on your end?
Yes, I'm heading to Brooklyn, New York. We're going to be
doing
Cute as a Button baby shower. That's going to be launching next Sunday. So we're heading up to Brooklyn to do a couple little projects and chores before the baby comes, and then we're going to have the nice baby shower. So those are my big plans.
That will be very exciting. Well, can I ask you guys something? I've been meaning to ask for the last couple of weeks about that. I have to say, I'm not entirely sure which way is the forward slash. Like, does forward slash mean it's leaning forward or that the bottom end is forward?
It's that the bottom end is forward.
Bottom end is, okay. All right.
Yep. Yeah. No, I know. It's the one that's on the same keystroke as your question mark.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Yeah. All right. So audiblepodcast.com.
Because I have to keep putting that link in everywhere and I have to keep rechecking it. That's why I know I spread that link around.
You think that bottom end is, you'd call that forward?
I think that's backwards.
I'd call that backwards.
It's not. According to the directions, the very specific directions we got from Audible.
Okay.
I don't want to confuse people. Because it's kind of key. Because if you do the other way, you don't get the link.
Right.
So that's what they told us is called forward slash. So we're going to go with that.
Well, I'm just glad to know I'm not the only one who is unclear about the difference between the forward slash and the backslash.
Right,
what's that, Mom?
I think you're right now that I'm looking at it.
Still. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I'm no, as I think we all know, no typist. So, but that's according to them.
Well established.
Yeah, that's what they call a forward slash.
Okay. So, so you can do that. You can join our Facebook group. You can always email us, sisters@satellitesisters.com. And remember, the shows are always posted on our blog at satellitesisters.com. So you can listen to the shows there, but you can also post comments on the blog. If you're not a Facebook person, plenty of room for comments on the blog. So we invite that. And, I guess that's it for this week. So we're coming down. Let's see. That game starts in exactly an hour.
All right.
The big World Cup final. So have a good week, sisters.
You too, Liz. Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Don't forget, call your satellite sister.
You walk into the world you make. You lose yourself, but you find your way. I'm going to watch you raise. Radio, radio, radio. We turn so slow, I know it's hard to wait. But take your time, son, it's yours to take. I'm gonna watch you radio.